Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, editorial director of the ECHR News. Today, we're talking with Chris Cook, who is a head coach and trainer at Business Development Resources, a coaching service for HVAC contractors. We want to focus the conversation on why employees leave an HVAC business and how owners can combat those items. Thanks for joining us today, Chris.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. First off, I guess the broad question, right? Why do HVAC technicians leave a business? I'm guessing it's more than just money, right?
Absolutely. It's a lot more than just money. Yeah. There's a lot of other reasons. Pay is usually one of them, but generally something else happens to make you start looking, and then money just becomes an excuse.
Maybe that the top couple that you notice from your coaching HVAC contractors.
Absolutely. Poor leadership and management is probably one of the biggest ones. And that also feeds right into culture and then lack of a future or a perceived lack of future. We'll dig deeper into all these, but the probably poor leadership and management is probably one of the easiest because it impacts so many other parts of our business. With a reputation is a big one, whether it be a positive one or maybe a non-positive one. And communication is a huge one. We as leaders or managers within our organization, we control everything, right? I'm gonna rephrase that. We control the flow of information. We don't control everything, in that we've got to empower our folks and get them engaged with our business. And if people are engaged, meaning that they want to be a part of it and they realize that they're a part of something bigger and my values align with your values, I'm going to be a lot more likely to succeed and a lot more likely to stick around with your company, right? Or any company, any employer.
Sure. Let's take management first. That's the first one you talked about. Obviously, different people want to be managed in different ways, and you're kind of the fine line between not giving them enough instruction and micromanaging. How does an HVAC contractor, I guess it's know your staff and know how each one has to be managed. Would that be accurate?
That's a great way to put it. One of the biggest things is get them assessed, find out what their personality type is like and how does their personality type mesh with yours? How do you communicate with each other? We all like to receive information different ways. So I want to know, how do we communicate the best to be most effective and efficient with each other? But I'm going to do one-on-one meetings. I'm going to make sure my managers are doing one-on-one meetings with their teams. We have to support them, find out kind of what makes them tick and what makes them want to be a part of your team. What are their personal goals? And then how do I align my organization to match those? And that's, I can find that. But I'm going to talk about career pathing with them and spend a lot of time and energy making sure they know what opportunities they have within our organization. There was a study recently done by a company called Lattice, and they'd found that 43% of respondents right now during the Great Resignation, 43% are leaving because they feel stalled or slow in their growth. And 38% of Gen Zs are looking for jobs with greater transparency with how they grow within a company. So a full third of our company, and almost half, are leaving or are potentially leaving because they don't feel they have an opportunity. So meeting with them and spending time with them and doing those one-on-ones is a huge way to do that, to let them know what they want and how do I get you there within my company? And building out that career path is a huge part of that.
When a contractor, which very likely might have a management team, how do they walk that line too, right? There's a chain of command and that should be respected, but you also don't want to seem like you're in an ivory tower and can't be bothered by the mere peasants that are the workers. How do you not undercut your management team, but develop relationships with technicians and the staff?
One, I'm going to support my management team and I'm going to hold them accountable to the goals they've established. And then I'm going to have them hold their team accountable to that. But one of the big things that I've learned, and actually had one of my coaching clients I work with actually challenge me on this, is that, most of the time when we build an organizational chart, it's a pyramid to the top. And I had one of them challenge me and said, I think you should reverse that, because as managers and leaders, we're there to support them, not vice versa. And that kind of changed how I started looking at things and how I talk to owners and work with different companies is, ultimately we're here to support them, not vice versa. And my goal as a manager is to remove the roadblocks so ultimately you can be successful. And I think getting out and being seen on job sites and doing those things, and I think goes a long, long way, regardless of your role, or walk in the warehouse in the morning when the installers are getting ready to leave, spend time with them, thank them for what they do. a heartfelt thank you goes a long, long way for showing appreciation, but make sure it's real, make sure it's heartfelt. People can sense BS very quickly.
Right.
And make sure your personality aligns with that, you know, that you can communicate that out there.
And then it's a good point. It's rare these days, right? Someone comes in with a company and kind of works their way up and stays there for an entire career. But you want to give them that option, or at the very least, have them be able to advance every couple of years to make it, you know, go worth their while. They want them to contribute. How do you set up a plan for that? It's just a certain amount of goals. I guess maybe you sit down and talk with them on what their goals are in the companies. Kind of walk us through that whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. What I want to do with that is we're going to build out what our career path looks like. You know, if I come into an organization as a, you know, let's say a trainee, right? Right attitude, right? And a little bit of aptitude, I'm going to train you. But here's the steps it takes to go from being a trainee to a level one service tech, to a level two, to a level three, all the way up to a master technician. And then we're going to work together to get you there. And then I'm going to publish that. I want everybody to know what's the expectation of each of those roles. I want you to know what it takes to be successful in your role you're in today. And what does it take you to get to that next role, you know, that next level. And I'm also going to publish my pay scales. I'm going to let everybody know that here's what you get paid when you get to that level. You know, and the expectation is this, and here's what you're going to get paid. And then they take away a lot of the, I guess, the mystery of it, you know, and I think a lot of managers become guilty of this, is we give a better pay raise to the people that we like better. You know, and the ones that maybe are a thorn in our backside, they still get a pay raise, but maybe it's not quite the same. Well, I'm going to publish it. And here's the expectation. Here's the pay that goes along with it, and the accountability scale that we're there to. And we're going to, you know, we're going to run this many calls, or we're going to generate this much revenue, or, our, you know, efficiency ratio, our 8-for-10 ratio, which is how efficient are we? You know, all those things are going to be published. And I want you to know, and here's how many accessories you need to sell, and how many maintenance agreements, and all that. But so everyone knows exactly what the expectation is. And the one-on-one meetings, we're going to coach you to make sure you're successful in achieving those.
Right. That's smart. Get everyone on the same page. How many times you hear people like, well, there's a bait and switch. They told me if I took this job, I'd get that much money. And then all of a sudden it's something different. That can really affect morale.
Well, absolutely. And there was we're seeing, I think, around 30% of people, and this is across all industries, just not the HVAC industry, but around 30% of people leave new jobs within the first 90 days.
Oh, wow.
And so that's a huge number of people that we spend a lot of energy recruiting and getting in the door, and we want them in our company. Obviously, they were a good fit or we wouldn't have hired them, but a full third leave in 90 days. And that was exactly why. They felt that they got bait and switched. They got told one thing, they came into the organization, it was the exact opposite. The culture didn't fit. You know, maybe the position wasn't what they said it was going to be. There's a lot of things that can happen. And that's, we want to make sure we get away from that.
Right. And then I know, you know, especially the younger generation, but I feel like maybe it's the entire workforce now. The work-life balance is something that's really important. And the HVAC industry doesn't always lend itself, you know, when it's really hot or really cold, you know, you're working a little bit more hours are needed than in the shoulder season. So how do you, for people that want the work-life balance, how can HVAC contractors make that work?
Communication, again, talking about it. You were seeing different strategies with on-call. You know, a lot of people do not want to be on-call. So we're seeing strategies with that. Maybe we bring people into work a certain shift. But it's communication, letting them know, here's what we're going to do. And trying to get them to understand that, you know what, when it does get hot out, we're going to get busy. You know, I live in Denver, so we're fortunate here. We pretty much do have four seasons, but you know, when winter comes and it gets cold, we're going to get busy then too. And having that meeting and reminding everyone, hey, you know what, the season is here. We're going to be busy for a little while. And part of it is we're just going to have to deal with it. But letting them know we're doing everything we can. You know, and if you've got a long on-call window, maybe someone's on call over the course of a weekend, so they've worked potentially 12 days in a row. You know, maybe you give them an afternoon off. You know, try to structure something so you can say, you know what, take off the rest of the day today, you know, and even if it's with pay, but do something for them to let them know that we are paying attention. And it is hard. I mean, it's a tough industry we've all chosen to be a part of. And sometimes you just have to be reminded that we made that choice.
Right. Now, if employees do, you know, they might look around, might interview other places. If they get another job offer for X amount of money more, and they come back to an HVAC contractor, is that a case-by-case basis to match? Do you never match? Do you always match? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a tough question there. it would probably depend on the situation, but if I've shown my pay scales and you're within that range, that's a decision you have to make is do I want to upset the apple cart with the rest of my team and say, you know what? Yeah, I will give an extra $3 even though you're not worth it. And seasonality may drive that. You know, we may be in a situation where we have no choice but to keep that person on board and hopefully they'll keep that quiet if you choose to do that. But that's a tough spot to be in, just to have that. And we've all had it happen to us. I mean, where you had somebody that was, you know, maybe a star performer that you really wanted to keep. You know, and you're going to do whatever you have to do that with them. But I'm going to make sure that they understand that if I'm going to do that for you, you know, one, we've got to try to keep it as confidential as possible. But I'm going to make sure that if I'm bumping you up to that next pay scale, then we're going to work as a team and you need to step up and make sure you're hitting all those goals too of what the new expectation is. You know, I'll pay you more money, but there's an expectation that comes with that.
Right. Since we're talking about money, do you think there should be a cost of living every year that you give people? And then also, I'll let you answer that one first. If I have a lot of questions, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And a great question. And probably so. I think especially when you look at a year like this one, where we've seen equipment go anywhere from 20 to 25, 28% increases, and gasoline and has gone from $2 a gallon to $4, depending on where you live at or more. I think you have to. I think you've got to be willing to do that and stay ahead of it. I don't want people coming to my door saying, hey, you know what, Chris, I need a pay raise. You haven't given me one in a while. You know, it cost me $8 to eat a Taco Bell today. You know, it used to be $4. We need to chat. Well, you're too late at that point because now they're already upset. So you definitely have to stay ahead of it.
Yeah, because at that point, you don't get credit for the raise, right? You're just trying to keep up. So you don't get all that goodwill that you usually do get and maybe a little more productivity when you give a raise.
Well, and that's and you hit the nail right on the head, Kyle. What that is I want to get credit for that. Just like I want our service techs and installers and sales teams to get credit when they do the right thing for a client. I want to do the same thing for my internal customers, and I want to get credit where credit's due. And if I can get ahead of something, get some traction for that. Let them know. And I've got a couple of clients I work with where their states are changing their minimum wage. And granted, we already pay well above minimum wage, probably in every market out there, even to get entry level people. But they're saying, okay, well, if minimum wage is going up $3 this year, well, I would expect my team to get something. So we're proactively raising their rates all the way across the board to do that. And one thing to touch on, I'll let you back to your next question, was that we've got to be profitable. As an industry and as contractors and as companies, we have got to be profitable. So we've got to be making good money in order to pay great wages. So know what your costs are and don't be afraid to increase your prices. I mean, it's everywhere. Like I said, you know, a little bit of joke there, but you know, Taco Bell, I have a Taco Bell about 2 blocks from my house and I eat there for lunch probably once or twice a week. And you know, it used to be, I could eat for $5 and everything on the dollar menu now is $1.49. And it's, you know, everything else has gone up. So we should expect our wages to go up too. And our prices. Don't be afraid to charge what you're worth and don't be afraid to make money. We've got to be profitable or it makes the game a whole lot less fun if you're not making money.
Sure. It does raise a question though. How comfortable should contractors be and how much information, like the profitability and how much this costs? Yeah, how much of those numbers should you share with the employees so they kind of realize, hey, just not my wage, you're paying for the building and healthcare and all the stuff that goes into it.
It probably part of it depends on your team. There's a lot of people out there who find out that we're billing $300 an hour and I'm making 30. So that must mean Chris is putting $270 in his pocket, right, which isn't even remotely close to true. So it's worth those conversations to talk about, you know, how does revenue work? You know, and we've got our cost of goods sold, which, you know, we take that out, that gives us our gross profit. Then we have to pay the overhead. Then we pay taxes and we finally get to a net income. I think you can have that conversation on about a 10,000 foot view, and you absolutely should. It's important to let people know that, you know what, your $30 an hour on your check, that's great, but you know, there's your benefits that go into that, your vacation that goes into that. And there's not a bad thing of letting people know what it really costs to be in business. I think it's well worthwhile. I may not share, you know, down to the dollar, you know, what the net income looks like and anything like that, but top line and high level, I think it's very important to do.
Now, if you're growing, even if you haven't lost people, you're going to want to bring people in. I'm guessing if you build the right culture you can lean on your current employees to bring in people they know from the neighborhood or friends of theirs and kind of vouch for them. Do you recommend that? And if so, is there any kind of reward maybe for employees that do that?
I strongly recommend that. Yeah, if just like you're not going to refer a, you know, a friend or family member to do business with you, I wouldn't expect someone to refer someone to my company if I wasn't a good company. So, and depending on the marketplace, you may have to do something with a referral bonus or something like that. At one point in time, a company I worked for, we did sign-on bonuses, and one of our existing employees challenged us on that and said, well, if you're going to bring somebody new on board, why don't I get something? I said, well, you refer them and I'll match it. I'll pay you what I pay them. But I want you to be a part of it. And I am going to put a stipulation on there about how long you have to stay. I generally don't give it all up front. You know, I'm going to space it out over time because I want to make sure you didn't get your, you know, bonus and leave on the 91st day. So I'm going to probably stretch that out a little bit to at least get me through the season that I needed them for.
Now, when you're hiring new people, you want to stick to the pay scale, obviously, but getting somebody today was probably much different than getting someone 3 years ago, just because there's, you know, more jobs than there are people looking for. I won't say people looking for jobs. There's more jobs than people looking for jobs. Do you feel uncomfortable paying somebody who's coming in more than someone's been there a couple of years just because of circumstances?
That's where I want my position descriptions out there and that career path and my pay scales. I'm gonna bring you in and you're gonna match up with where that's at.
Okay.
So that keeps everything above board and keeps everything out there. And like I said, publish them, put them on the wall, let people know what the expectation is.
Right. But when we're talking about money, is that like maybe the third or fourth thing people are interested in as far, or is that number one or number two?
No, it's definitely top five, but it's probably closer to third or fourth. You know, they want to know, is there a work-life balance like we talked about, but it's stability, it's culture, and it's letting me know I've got a place to go. That's probably one of the biggest ones right now is letting me know I have a career path. I went out to dinner the other night with my daughter, and it was to a fast food restaurant, or was it a chain restaurant, but they actually had two signs in there.
Was it Taco Bell?
No, it was Panda Express.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, but Panda has, they had three different boards up in their office, in the restaurant. Two of them were, how do you start out as, you know, literally working on the counter, and how do you work your way up to a general manager? And then their other one was a management scale. You know, you become a store manager. I think it was a general, then a regional, then a district or something like that. But that was two different career paths. And what can you expect from each of those? And it talked about wages, what the benefits are, what the opportunity is, and what your expectation is for what you're going to give them. And I love that. And I think that's huge. And when we talk about too competing now with the workforce, like you said, we have more people, we have more opportunities now than we have people looking. We're not competing against other HVAC contractors anymore. We're competing against everyone. You know, you want to bring in a warehouse manager. Well, guess what? You're competing directly against Amazon, who's paying $15 to $18 an hour. And now in certain markets, they're paying for college education for people. You know, Starbucks here in Denver, the baristas, they're paying for your college if you want to go to ASU online. You know, so we're competing against everyone now when we're looking to hire people.
Now, when we speak of culture, you had a lot of good points on, you know, how to get them to advance and, you know, be transparent with them and that kind of stuff. But is some of it just as simple as making it a fun place to work, whether it's breakfast for the guys in the morning or not silly stuff, but easy stuff, the kind of the low hanging fruit stuff. Talk about what contractors can do there.
Yeah, at BDR, we call them a Wahoo, right? It's our celebrations. You know, we want to have our Wahoos and celebrate. And that's a huge part of it. You know, we do have to have fun at work. Like we talked about before, it's hot, you know, in certain markets, it's cold, certain markets, 130 degrees in an attic. But we got to have some fun along the way, you know, and do celebrations and have your Friday morning celebration breakfast and hand out spiff checks and congratulate people. That goes a long way. And that also ties directly back to culture. And I want to work for someplace that ties to me, that I do have fun at, that I know that what I do matters and it's a bigger part of me than what I am just by myself. So yeah, I'm a huge believer in having fun along the way.
Not sure how much you can answer this one, but I'll ask it anyway. Vaccine mandates, those can kind of cut both ways for a contractor. It could be A couple technicians are getting angry because they don't want to be vaccinated. A couple could be angry if you don't have it because they want to come to a place, you know, where everyone's vaccinated. What, that's just a tough place for a business owner can to be. Any advice on how to navigate that those landmines, I guess?
Openly communicate it and set your expectations for what you want. It's what you want as a company. Certain parts of the country are going to be much much stricter about that than others. You know, the rural areas are maybe a little bit more open to maybe not having the mandates in place. I think certain cities you're going to have to, you know, and certainly depending if you're a federal contractor doing work for a federal contract, you're going to have to get vaccinated. You're not going to have much choice. And you may end up finding out you may have some team members who don't want to do it, and it may limit their ability to work. That's probably going to be the hardest part, is if I've got a client who says, you know what, I'm only going to let you in my home or near my business if you can prove you've been vaccinated, we may have to do it purely because of that.
Right.
And it's an interesting topic, and it's I don't know that there is one answer one way or the other to that one. I mean,
I definitely agree. Yeah. Well, Chris, there's a lot of good information, but why don't you tell us a little bit about business development resources for our contractor listeners that may not be aware, or have heard the name but don't fully know?
Yeah, so Business Development Resources is a training and coaching company. We're out of Seattle, Washington, is where our headquarters is. Most of us live all around the country. We went remote a long time ago, long before remote became a thing, I guess, with COVID. But we do training and coaching. We work with primarily heating and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical contractors. We have some locksmith companies we work with all across the country. We do training within the HVAC industry. And our website is bdrco.com. So Business Development Resources, co.com. You can find a lot of information on there about our training classes that are coming up. We do coaching. A lot of us work with contractors all across the country to help them make money and take better care of their people. And you know, driving profit and growth is our tagline, but freedom is ultimately what we give owners. When you're making money, it allows you to be free to do other things in your life.
Absolutely. All right, Chris, we really appreciate the time today. It was very informative.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Kyle, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.